Okay, so we are very much into the season of Slichos. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about Slichos. I've spoken about Slichos in the past, but maybe one element of Slichos that I don't think I've ever spoken about, and that is Piyutim. What is the status of Piyutim? We just take it for granted that we have Piyutim, and we know that when Rav Shachter writes a tshuva about Corona and about how you're allowed to skip certain things, Piyutim are the things that you're allowed to skip. But what exactly is the status of Piyutim? And there's actually a history involved, and there was some there was some opposition to having any sort of piyutim ever. So let's talk about piyutim in terms of its role in slichos and in general piyutim. So there is a common misconception that the piyutim are like the main thing, and then like in between, the thing that you repeat over and over again, like that's just, you know, the filler. It's like the chorus, but you know, like the main song is the piyutim itself. That is not correct. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah is pretty explicit that the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim are the Yasu Lefanai Kisei Derazeh. That's what's really the chashuva part of the slichos, and everything else, is more the filler. The Rabbi Yehuda Bar Barzilai Abar Tzaluni, a contemporary of the Rif, explained that when there were decrees against the study of Torah, so that's when piyutim started becoming popular, because the Rabbanim would compose tfilos that included a lot of halachos of each Yom Tov snuck into the tfila in order to educate the masses at a time where they couldn't properly educate the masses. So that's how they made it as part of a song, and then through the song they were able to sneak in all of these halachos. And then after that, many more piyutim were composed that made their way into our tefilos. And a similar history of piyutim is recorded in Sefer HaPardes in Siman Kuf Ayin Dalet. In fact, the Machzor Vitri writes that the proper order of he writes what the proper order of slichos is, and he doesn't even mention piyutim. When he goes through slichos, not only that, Rashi in Tainus on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph strongly implies that reciting Anenu at the end of the slichos is a very important element of the slichos, and you're not supposed to rush that part in any way. You know, the part that everybody mamish rushes through, that's the part that you're not really supposed to rush. And for that reason, a lot of the poskim say that the introductory psukim to the piyutim and the Anenu at the end should be done dafka slowly and with great kavana. That's what Magen Avraham writes in Siman Samachas, Machzor Shekel writes over there, and the Birkei Yosef over there in Siman Samachas. They all make this ha'ara. So, but what about piyutim in general? What was the opposition to piyutim? So there is a significant portion of the slichos obviously consists of piyutim, and some of them are very long. The slichos are not the only part of our liturgy that includes many piyutim. During Chazaras Hashatz for Yom Noraim, even during Birch Kriyashma for Yom Noraim, there are many communities that add different amounts of piyutim. You always have like the additional ones at the end of the art school machzor, if you're unlucky enough to daven at one of those shuls, that says some recite additional piyutim. I've yet to meet those some, but there are it's laden with piyutim. So there's a lot of discussion amongst the Rishonim and the Achronim about the viability of all these piyutim in general. So just as a basic outline, I'm not an expert. I'm barely even minimally educated on this topic, but I'll just say what I found on this topic. I'm sure there's a lot more out there. The Ibn Ezra in his commentary on Koheles in Parakei Pasuk Aleph writes that when a person davens, he should realize that he's all made l'fnei Hashem, and Kodesh Baruch Hu has the capacity to give us life and to give us death, and we therefore should not include in our tefillos any piyutim whose explanations we don't understand, meaning we're not really being, taking advantage of the time that we're only l'fnei Hashem if we're saying all of these things that we don't even know what we're talking about. The Ibn Ezra writes that he couldn't possibly list all of the thousands of errors that the Paitanim made in writing the piyutim, but the essence of his criticism really boils down to four issues. Issue number one, says the Ibn Ezra, is that many of the piyutim are composed with allegories whose connection to the tefillos are not easily understandable. For instance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to a lion by the Navi Hosea in Perek Yud Aleph, but we would never dream of reciting a bracha with the words Baruch Ata Aryeh, right? Why don't we take a cue from Shlomo HaMelech, who is the wisest of all men, but his tefillos are easily understood. Anybody who can speak Lashon HaKodesh could understand, at least on a basic level, what Shlomo HaMelech is talking about. So says the Ibn Ezra, to have all of this poetic Lashon and to include all of these Mishalim based on Tanakh in the tefillah, that doesn't seem to be right. Many of the piyutim, second, says the Ibn Ezra, many of the piyutim composed by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir are written in Aramaic, and the Ibn Ezra argues that traditionally tefillos should not be done in Aramaic, right? That's what the Gemara Masechet Shabbos tells us, that the Malach HaYashar is not Mavina B'Lashon Arami, and therefore we're not supposed to be Mispalel B'Lashon Arami. We're only supposed to be Mispalel B'Lashon HaKodesh. So why should we start bringing Aramaic? Maybe any other language should not be included in tefillah, but certainly Aramaic. That's Machlokas Rishonim. When it says that the Malach HaYashar is not Mavina B'Lashon Arami, does that mean B'Lashon Arami, which is closest to Lashon HaKodesh, and Kal V'Chomer, other languages? Or does it mean Davka Lashon HaRami because it's a corruption of Lashon HaKodesh? But other languages maybe would be okay? That's a further machlokas. Then the third tie in the Ibn Ezra has is that the Hebrew that's used by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir didn't really follow any rules of diktuk and any of the normal boundaries of what you're allowed to do with the language. For instance, the piyut refers to Shushan Amok Ayoma. So even though the word Shoshana is a Shoshan, not Shushan, Shoshan Emek Ayoma. So he's referring to a rose, to a Shoshana. Shoshana is a feminine word and should never be corrupted to read Shoshan. The Ibn Ezra says that would be like calling a tefillah a tefil. Right, you never hear a prayer being referred to in the masculine. It's a feminine word, and that's the way it's supposed to be done. And then the fourth tiny the Ibn Ezra has is that tefillos are supposed to be straightforward, as opposed to the common style of piyutim, which have a lot of esoteric comments of midrashei chazal that are incorporated into the piyut. The Radak also criticizes the composers of piyutim for that reason, and he says that these compositions are a very great sin. So, why is it that we incorporate all these piyutim if Ibn Ezra was such a great poet and such a great master of Tanakh and of poetry? He was so against it. So many, many great poskim throughout the generations have defended the piyutim against the attacks of the Ibn Ezra. Kivega writes that the Ibn Ezra acted improperly in criticizing Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. The Rush and the Bali Atosos claim Rabbi Elazar HaKalir was a Tana. You find this in Tisvei Rabbi Kivega or Michtav Gimel. The Rashba actually has in one place a tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive the Ibn Ezra for the great mistake in criticizing Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, that he needs mechila for such a thing, and to address the particular issues one by one. So as far as the first issue is concerned, the Maharal in the Sivas Olam, the Siv HaVoda, Perek Yud Beis, distinguishes between tefillos, which certainly have to be recited with the proper dikduk, and personal songs of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are best expressed in the same way that people express themselves, however they speak, even if it doesn't follow the laws of dikduk exactly. And the Maharal stresses that the Ibn Ezra clearly did not understand the stature of the people that he chose to criticize, and anyone who does understand the wisdom of these people, who come, these paitanim, and know that, that all that they did was done with a great chachma and great bina, will pay no attention to the comments of the Ibn Ezra. In terms of the Ibn Ezra's comment that the style of the piyutim is no different than saying like Baruch Ata Aryeh, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to a lion, in the Sefer Zoch LeAvram, Simen Yud Gimel, he writes that we never find any reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such poetic languages in the piyutim. So it's a straw man, meaning he said, now you're going to say Baruch Ata Aryeh. Well, no one ever said that. No one ever took it that far. And therefore, it's not true. The Paitanim are careful to only refer to other entities, like the Shemayim, or something like that, with poetic references, but we never refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such language. In terms of the claim that the tefillos should only be composed in Hebrew, we could argue that the only objection to tefillah in other languages is when they're used as a substitute for our accepted normal tefillos. But to compose additional tefillos, which essentially is what the piyutim are used as more tefillos, additional tefillos, extra tefillos, that's what slichos are really all about, and that you're allowed to do in other languages as well. I should comment, I meant to say at the beginning, all of these marmakomos, I didn't find any of these marmakomos. There's a sefer that I have at home called Moadim Simcha. I'm told that it's a very famous plagiarizer, that it's a beautiful sefer, has very, very nice essays, and what he did is a Haredi Yid, I think, from like Bnei Brak or Yerushalayim or something, and he reads like all these scholarly journals that have very good Torah essays, but that the Olam would never read. So he translates them into Hebrew, basically, without giving credit, and publishes nice essays. So this is one of those essays. essay. So the Sefer Mardin L'Simcha, he quotes all of these. So I'm plagiarizing him. So as far as the criticism that the Paitanim do not use proper diktuk, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Simon Samaches, Ifim Bezen Gimel, that Rabbi Elazar HaKlir and Rabbi Shimon HaGadol wrote with Ruach HaKodesh. So whenever they seem to break from the laws of diktuk, there are deep sodos that are involved that they're expressing to us, and it can only be understood by someone who's familiar with that. Then clearly they're more equipped to judge what the proper usage of the Hebrew language is than the Ibn Ezra is. That's the taina of the Aruch HaShulchan and others, that these are very, very holy people. I'm reminded of the Maisa with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Someone once, my friend Rabbi Reuven Mendelis, I think, told me this story, that someone once came to Rav Moshe and was complaining that that the reason that people go off the derech nowadays, and the reason that people aren't frum, and all the problems in the world with Yiddishkeit is because people are never taught proper diktuk. And he started going on and on and on about diktuk, and it's that's the problem with Yiddishkeit, and that's the problem with everything, and Rav Moshe waited patiently. He was a very patient person, and the guy finished his rant, and Rav Moshe said, "I think it's diktuk. I think you're mispronouncing it." That it's the final issue that many achronim point to a Tshuvas HaRadvaz to address the issue of the Piyutim incorrectly shifting words from masculine to feminine and vice versa. The Radvaz writes in Tshuvas HaRadvaz Chelik Beis Simin Shin Lamed Vav that any word that represents something that is not alive can be expressed in either masculine or feminine, because then it's just a formulation of the word. It's not about a thing that is actually male or female, but it's within the bounds to describe it as such. But what you do see is that piyutim, it's a real skill to write piyutim, meaning to write these piyutim, people have to have incredible knowledge of Tanakh and often Chazal as well, in order to have a poetic flair to be able to write these piyutim. I was just listening to an interview with one of the popular Jewish singers in America today, and they were asking him about Yishai Ribo, and they said Yishai Ribo is not a singer, not just a singer, he's a paitan, meaning an American person couldn't do that, because you have to know all of Tanakh to do what he does, because all the references that he incorporates, there's a certain skill in doing that. Now, I'm not suggesting that Yishai Ribo is like Rav Elazar HaKlir or anything like that, but there's a certain style that incorporates Divrei Torah in a meaningful way, and that speaks from the Neshama, and Klal Yisrael is accepted to utilize these piyutim. Of course, it's not as important as our Ikra Tefillah, and that's where Shachter Paskin, that if we have to cut something out because of time constraints with Corona, that would be the first thing to go. But we should appreciate the value of this part of our tefillah. Okay, have a great day, and chesiva v'chesiva tov, everybody. Thank you for coming to learn together.